go ahead and get started. We have one item on our agenda for this afternoon, a discussion of the former Armory Senior Center building. We have an attachment in our packet from Mr. Nigber, who did some analysis and provided some options. So I'd like to ask him to maybe step through those and highlight some things, and we'll go from there.
So yes, you all have seen the memo. Thank you for your time, by the way. I laid out basically the background facts for you, which talks about the building itself, the site we're talking about, which includes the building, the south side of 2nd Street, and two parcels basically on the north side, the former city senior center property, which is an old gas station site, and then our city-owned parking lot area. We now own all three of those together, but really they're divided by three different areas, just for your own reference. The building itself has, I would say, a varied level of condition throughout the area. I mean, the HVAC system, the building facade, the roofing, all those things are in, I'd say, fair condition or good condition, depending on which component you're talking about. So it really boils down to looking at the uses of the property, whether you want to dispose of the site, or one of the sites, or two of the sites. If you look at the memo itself on the second page, we talk about the valuation we had looked at for the properties themselves. And in this case here, we had two different appraisals done, one for the senior center parking lot area, and one for the building itself. The building itself, we had two major restrictions on that. One is to keep the exterior historic. The second is that no parking would be guaranteed with the building site. And we did that just to get a good raw value should you decide to go down that path. The values that we came up with then for the valuation of the building was $675,000. The senior center parking lot was $700,000. And then we extrapolated that value that came out of that appraisal to our city-owned property. That equated to a possible sale price of $800,000. I would point out, though, that in the building valuation, when I talked to the appraiser about this, if we assigned some parking with the site, that value would likely go up. That allowed a variety of uses that could go in there, which would generate higher rents. That's the difference in what the valuation included.
So let me just, quick question on that. You know, a structured parking spot downtown, which is essentially what we'd be offering, is $35,000 or so a stall now to build and obligate. At that,
there is a price, but yes.
Well, I mean, that's the most recent ramp is about that, right?
Summer 25.
25 to 30.
Oh, that's a bargain then. But I mean, at that rate, I mean, do we get to a point of efficiency with offering some parking with it? It just seems to me at that price, we're not going to recoup. But
no, and I think it's a matter of how you. I mean, if you decide to market the building itself, do you look at what's happening downtown with the transit plan and the parking plan overall, and do you really want to provide parking for that area? Again, with the circular transit route that's planned or that concept, you could very well have a good walkable site or transit site right on Broadway there. So again, it's a matter of perspective where you want to go, philosophy.
I was curious, thank you.
From there, we looked at some options for disposition of the properties, and I kind of broke it down into three easy steps. The first step is a total keep as a public or quasi-public facility, knowing that the vacant sites on the north side of 2nd Street could be redeveloped at some point in time or sold and redeveloped at some point in time in the future. The second option is to sell the entire site totally and kind of just get off from under all that obligation, because if you keep the building right now, in the short term or long term, you will have financial obligations for operations and maintenance. That's just a fact you have to live with. The third option is much more complex. That's where we get into the concept of utilizing some parking with the building at some interim basis. With ultimately either keeping or selling the building and then selling the properties on the north side. That's really the memo in short. If you've got questions, we'd be happy to answer those.
All right, questions, Mr. Hickey.
Yeah, no, I really like it. Good work on this. And this is kind of what we had, you know, directed, you know, get the appraisal. That's a good first step. Then we said, you know, we would market it and see, you know, what the, you know, what offers we get for it. So I think I personally like, you know, probably three to give us the most flexibility. Perhaps sell a building in conjunction with a long-term lease for parking, or maybe we do something different with that parking. But I think once we market it, we'll see what the interest is in that parking and how much you know, how much it would affect the offers we get. But I've heard several good proposed ideas for that Armory building. So,
and I think picking up on that relatively short-term lease or short long-term lease on the parking might be amenable anyway, since there are some caveats in terms of excavation there.
Couple of restrictions, yes.
Yeah, we've got a couple of years that it should ideally just remain as is, so that might provide a nice buffer again for some of the transit options that we expect to occur also. Mr. Wojcik?
Well, no surprise here because I don't hold the cards too close to the vest, but I'm very supportive of purposing this for a public purpose. Option one would remain my preferred for the armory itself. I strongly believe in redeveloping surface parking lots. It's the lowest land use possible in a downtown core, but I think the time to potentially sell or get a project going on that is after the DMC plan is more ironclad there and the city loop is ironed out. But the armory building itself, it's still my preference to build upon what we have with the library and the arts institutions and try and be deliberate about making a downtown that brings people in that don't traditionally feel comfortable coming downtown.
Mr. Nigger?
Just a point of clarification. There's two things I want to point out to you. Is on the armory itself, if you decide to not have city ownership, if you want to convey ownership to a quasi-public entity, or if we sell it outright, you want to maintain that restricted covenant for the building facade to make sure it's still historically valid. The second thing is, if you do want to market it publicly on the open market, I would suggest retaining a separate firm to do that. Staff has some capacity, but really you're talking about a different market than we're used to dealing with.
One question I have, this goes to a comment Mr. Bilderbach raised at a previous meeting. Let's say we sell it, and we do have that caveat, a deed restriction that maintains the facade. Is there any, and maybe this is a question for legal, is there anything that we can do to ensure that the buyer might be, they don't just let it, dilapidate and demolition by neglect?
Not really. Once you sell it, it's a challenge. Now, there is the historic preservation ordinance that you just adopted that does have some caveats in that, the details of which Aaron is the expert on. So,
all right. Mr. Reed?
It is a landmark property under the new ordinance, so the new ordinance does address demolition by neglect, so you're not allowed to do that with the landmark property. Now, as far as the enforcement of demolition by neglect, it's never easy. But it is in the ordinance now that the building would have to be maintained. And you talked about the deed restriction for the facade, and also following their ordinance and landmark property that would have to be kept up, the facade would have to be kept up as well. So we do at least have it in the ordinance to not allow demolition by neglect.
Okay, Mr. Campion.
What are, when you did your research and comparables, what are other buildings in the area selling for per square foot? Do you have any idea?
I didn't bring that information with me. I bet there's a whole thick appraisal book on it.
Okay.
It varied in price based on what the highest and best use of the value of the property was. So, for example, the appraiser looked at this being office and restaurant-type uses, and he also looked at event spaces, too, but found that not to be physically viable without that additional parking secured. So, again, it varied depending on what uses you want to look at. The event space had a higher value per rent. Residential, he looked at as well. Has a higher rent on a per basis, but your common area maintenance goes up as well. So again, your rents versus income versus your expenses needs to play out in the whole analysis.
Right, and I guess that's part of what I was looking at too, was just to reacquire a space like this downtown for the city. Even if we're kind of undetermined about what the best use is right now, I'm trying to find a comparable price for acquisition of the space back. If we just turn it into offices for the city,
You really don't have a good comparable on that regard.
Right.
If you look at, because of the restrictions on it, because of the facade, you're always getting back to raw land value.
Right.
Because of it. Now, could you modify the building, keep the facade in place, and go vertical above what was planned? That is a possibility. Though again, your cost for construction goes way up as well, but your cost for on a net buildable space in the end goes down. So again, it's really a matter of what you want to do with the
front. And the $675 did not, it was not accounting for a demolition or anything. This was to protect the property.
Yep, that is correct.
Thank you.
And we do have the appraisal here, and when you look at, they try to use some comparisons, it's not easy, but they range anywhere from, looks like $85 to $95 to $123 per square foot. And you'd be talking about the lab building is one of the comparables,
right.
Things like that downtown. So it is a little bit all over the board.
I understand.
The quality of space, too, makes a big difference. So he's taking that information, adjusting it upwards or downwards based on the comparables.
And I understand that there's all those factors. I guess from one perspective I have on this is putting in a use without divesting ourselves of the property preserves future access to the property for the city. Reacquiring space like this would be incredibly expensive.
Correct.
I think there's no doubt that this market is going up, and selling at the bottom of a market is not always a great idea. So we don't really know how expensive it's going to be to acquire the space in the future. You know, we already own it to some degree. So I think, you know, there are some consequences to divesting ourselves of this property that I hope people are weighing at the same time.
All right, others, comments? Mr. Bildebeck?
Sure, what the heck. I'm not sure what I want to do with this property, to be honest. I've heard some say sell, I've heard some say keep. I want to find the best use of this property possible, and I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a public-private partnership. I don't know if that's selling it outright. I don't know if somebody out there has. I've heard an interest from a couple groups that I had never heard from until last night that were interested in it, that have a very close relationship to the armory itself. So I guess what I'm looking for is I want to see what are all the options out there. I'm not so sure. We know what the value of the property is, so marketing it. We could, again, we went through a part of this before, but people came back and said through the process before they didn't know if they could participate, if it was just nonprofits, or if it was if they could collaborate and work with other groups to come together to figure this out. At this point, I'm just not ready to say this property should be sold, and I'm not willing to, at this point, to say that it should be kept on the city dime.
Mr. Reed, do you have a comment?
Well, I was just going to kind of say I've been sort of taking the lead on some of the activities with the armory, and one of the things I did was work with the original the group, the Arts Collaborative, and reviewed their original proposal and provided them with some input on, you know, possible ways that you know, they could improve on that. So they have worked with existing organizations in the community to come back with a little bit of I guess they're calling it an addendum to the proposal, so they have something that's a little stronger for that use. At the same time, I've also been showing the building to a lot of interested parties who want to see it. We actually, you know, we've had, I guess you'd call soft offer to purchase the building at the price of the appraisal. So there's a lot of interest on both sides. I know that the ACI has an expanded proposal that council could consider if they decide to keep it in it. But at the same time, I have shown the building to a number of different parties who have expressed various levels of interest in it. But I think the thing for staff is we kind of want to know which road we should kind of start going down with it, so we're not continuing to have, say, the ACI group work with other local organizations to try to come up with a plan to use it when, in fact, we really are going to try to look at selling it. So that's, you know, there is interest on both sides, but it really is looking at where the council kind of wants to go with it.
Mr. Ruska, then Mr. Hickey?
I'd be in favor of option 2 or 3. I think we need to look at what's out there. Option 1, I think, could always be something we could come back to if there isn't any decent, acceptable proposals. I look at this as possibly over $2 million back into to the city, putting it back on the tax rolls. As Mr. Nigber already alluded to, there definitely will be future obligations financially to take care, maintain, operate the building if we keep it. So those are all things that are positive into the overall budget and cash flow of the city. So at this point, I guess I'd like to see us take either 2 or 3, because in my eyes, one of them is a clear out sale. The other one is sailing with, you know, what proposals might we get if we went that route. So those would be the two that I'd like to pursue.
Mr. Hickey.
Yeah, and just to emphasize that point, I think Mr. Ruska made that point. I mean, just because we get an offer, we're not obligated to sell it. So if it's not a good fit or we think this isn't the best use, once we hear what the offers are, we can always go back and look to do some kind of some other use where the city retains ownership. But you know, the first step always was to get an appraisal, so now we know what it's worth, and then see who'd be interested in purchasing it and for what purpose. And part of that would be, I think part we could tell by their purpose. I mean, certainly if they're using it for their use, they're not going to want to do demolition by neglect because it's part of their their business plan. So I think I really would encourage us to take the next step, see what the possibilities are for offers. And once again, we're under no obligation to sell it. If this isn't a good fit, we can always go back to the drawing board.
Mr. Wojcik and Ms. Johnson?
Now, these are kind of long-term strategic decisions that define what kind of a city we want to be. And, you know, there's obviously anytime you have something on the public roll versus the private, there's the tax impact. But, you know, for a long time I've taken this position that, you know, I won't give up a square inch of green space downtown. Won't have it. Don't want anything to take away parkland. We could take Soldiers Field and, you know, turn it into private development. I'm sure it would do quite well, but that's not what we want to be as a city. So the caveat here is, and again, I think Mr. Campion makes a good point, that you can't recreate the space. We're not going to run into more of it in the future, and you have to decide whether or not this is something that you want to be part of your downtown. And, you know, I've taken the position that I think we have a very wonderful downtown, but I think there's a lot of people that don't necessarily participate in that. And that's why I think there are some potential public benefits that are critically important. And, you know, in terms, there's certainly a tax impact to this, but, you know, compare this to the potential of $10 to $12 million in TIF for a, you know, luxury building downtown. I think there's better ways to manage our budget necessarily than trying to take a key piece of the community like this and take away the option for using it for public benefits. So I'm open to listening to what offers might be out there, but the key thing is I don't want to listen in bad faith either. And, you know, I am very partial to making sure this has a strong public use for the benefit of the community and future generations, and that makes me a little bit leery about putting it out for bids because that's not really what I want.
Mr. Negber, have a comment?
Yeah. I think if you go into this process where you're conveying to the public that you may entertain some offers and you may not sell it when you get the offers back in, you probably won't get a lot of serious contenders that's going to come and say,
yep,
I'm going to give you my best offer because you may say no anyways. So that's just a reality, just so you know that going into it.
Ms. Johnson?
I'm just going to say what I got a lot of emails about this. and I'm just going to relay what the emails that I received were in favor of option one and keeping the Armory building as a city property and as a community event center. So that's an overwhelming response in that direction. So that's just what I've heard from constituents.
Okay. Mr. Bilbao?
Yeah, I guess the concern I have, Mr. Nickber, is your statement. I think the fact is this is a piece of property that once something's decided what we're going to do, that's it. If we sell it, it's a one-time shot. So I think people ought to take it serious that we're looking at options. And I agree, again, with Mr. Campion that giving up city assets are tough, but the fact is we're not into the real estate business, and that's not what we've ever wanted to get into. Yet we've accumulated quite a bit of property over the last year. I don't want to be in the real estate business, but I want to do the right thing for the city of Rochester as well. My feeling is I want to hear what people have to say as far as the property, what the uses are, and how they're going to do that. We only had two proposals last time. We had one that pulled out at the last second, which was kind of unfortunate. I don't know if they regret that move now or not, but my feeling is I would really like to hear what all the groups that really have an interest in this property want to do with it, and I think that at that point we make the decision. I think getting the appraisal on the property was a smart thing to do. We should have done that initially, but I do believe that I'm open to hear from all angles and all groups to how they would propose to use that building and how they would fund it or try to get us to back to where close to a zero cost on it as possible. I'm not in a hurry to go out and sell it, but I do want to make sure that we do the best thing for the city.
So the concern that I would express is that, you know, last time, you know, a few of us expressed frustration that at some point we got to make a decision on this. And, you know, I'm okay with exploring these options, but I want to do them in good faith. The bigger issue that I have here is that how are we going to get to a point where we make a decision on this? We have a lot bigger issues out there, and I don't want to keep coming back to this every 6 months.
And I would certainly agree with that. give you my opinion. I actually kind of favor option three, which gives us the most flexibility. I think we need to be serious. I understand Mr. Nigger's comment, but I think we need to kind of telegraph to would-be buyers that we're serious about considering options. I'm happy to hear that we could put protections in place to protect the facade and the historic element of that building. That's a treasure in our community. The fact that because it's a landmark property, there are protections so that it would not be allowed to dilapidate. And I like option three primarily because it gives us the most flexibility. Depending on the intended use, they may or may not want some parking or some short-term lease parking or whatever. That gives us some negotiating leverage in terms of what they might need for parking. To Mr. Campion's point, I would, if I'm going to reserve any parcels for possible future development, I'd rather reserve the blank parcels to the north, not the Armory property, primarily because we'd be under the same restrictions as any other buyer. We couldn't just go in and necessarily knock it down. That'd be pretty hypocritical. And some of our uses, I don't know. And then to Mr. Bilderback's point, I'm not sure I want to be in that real estate business anyway. I'd rather perhaps get something back on the tax rolls. And then any revenues we could use to offset some of our other expenses or goals that we have in mind. Maybe some of the things we're talking about for the chateaus, maybe some other public amenity space. So it's not as though, in other words, I would not want to see those monies just disappear and go towards some unintended use. I'd like to have some purpose in mind for those funds. So bottom line is I favor option number three. Mr. Ruskin.
Well, I think this is a really unique building which creates a really unique opportunity. So I think it's up to us to see what those opportunities can bring. And I'm serious about selling it. I don't know about others, but if we don't explore that, I don't think we're going to find out what's out there. And so I hope that we can move forward in good faith with that in mind.
To switch gears, I mean, we're obviously pretty split on we're open to options, but we're split on how willing we are to set that on the Armory part. We haven't discussed as much the blank lots, and I think there's where I think we have an opportunity for some pretty clear strategy here. That's a fantastic development site, probably especially for residential. Once you with some ground floor retail, once the Crescent, the cultural trail, or the city loop is in it, assuming it goes that planned route. And that's an opportunity where I'd hate to sell the land right now when it's very nebulous on what exactly that part of the DMC district is going to look like. But once we have some definition there, I mean, that's a site that could potentially support a 30-story principally residential mixed use building. And it's something that we'd be able to go through a request for proposal project, which has been very successful for us in the past. If you look at the food co-op, I don't see any long-term interest in maintaining surface parking lots as publicly owned amenities downtown. But I do think that we can really steer some density to that site, and that portion of the project can help pay for it. In terms of parking needs, we just got to figure out the right answer, because there's a major parking ramp that's 18 feet away. It just happens to be privately owned, and we got to figure out how to make that stuff work. But I think we've got a parking utility coming to help with that.
Mr. Campion.
So I guess two things. I actually like the idea of redeveloping the lots and obligating or working with the developer to pay for parking that would exist in that. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I think some of the ideas that are coming forward with second and third, fourth story parking could be really effective there to move that parking, give us some access, and to supply a needed resource for this Armory building to operate. The other kind of thing I want to bring up is we recently had on Wheelock Drive, we recently had the opportunity before us to sell that to Quick Trip, and to have, to be gung-ho about divesting ourselves of what has been labeled by a very wise man as a treasure for our community downtown, but then to be gun shy about selling land that's open, green, developable, out on the outside of town, I don't know what message we're sending. I mean, these are of the same order and of the same magnitude in terms of value to the city, but to then send these mixed signals about where we will and won't work to facilitate development, very confusing to me.
And just so I clarify, and I think I agree with Mr. Wojcik in that the reason I preferred option three, I know it's rare.
I know.
Option three is because my preference is to sell the building and reserve the lots for a variety of future uses. But the reason I liked option three is it allows us perhaps a bridging strategy, because we don't necessarily have an idea what we want to do with those lots either for some period of time. So there's nothing that says it couldn't be used as an interim use for parking. So Mr. Hickey, you next.
Just a point on the Quick Trip deal. And we did offer to sell it to Quick Trip. Quick Trip wanted it rezoned to B4, so it was really a separate action. We weren't going to rezone it, but it's still for sale as far as I know.
So, okay.
One thing too, and I want to, you know, as a city, it's okay for us to set aside goals for, you know, what we feel we need to bring into downtown. And one of my personal goals at this point, and it's very difficult to do right now, is to get ownership housing properties downtown, you know, condos. It's tough to do condos in Minnesota, and hopefully the laws are going to change to make it a little bit easier. But the Bloom proposal that we'll be, you know, probably getting an update on shortly, talks about, you know, potentially having some condo units in there. And the caveat is nobody's going to build condos in downtown Rochester until there are market comparables so they can actually, you know, sell them and have mortgages on them. And I think that's another reason to, you know, plan for the redevelopment of the lot, but wait until we have our ducks in a row in terms of what the future is going to be and what the market's going to be for this. Because it would be, you know, again, just the lots portion would be really tremendously positive to create that market for ownership housing in downtown Rochester.
So, along the lines of what Mr. Wojcik said earlier, I don't want to keep revisiting this either, so I think we should give some direction for staff and what we want to do with one or all three properties. And as I've already mentioned, I prefer option three, that let's go see what we get for offers. We're not obligated to accept them. If somebody tries to lowball it or something, you know, that's not going to be tenable. So so I'm not hard set on selling it because we have a valued piece of property that other Mr. Quenville.
At some point, you may have to factor in the mayor's opinion, especially if you're split. But I think he's on record as very strongly opposing the sale of it. So if he makes a veto it and you're split, you're kind of stuck.
So, help me out here. Do we need to bring something forward as an official action on what to do with the property? I'm looking at Mr. Gosley.
Depends on how formally you want to make it.
Well, I think I would almost prefer that from the standpoint that way everyone is clear on what the council direction is. There is formal action taken and a vote, and then rather than some sort of nebulous, well, we, you know, it's a little bit touchy-feely for people. Ms. Roy.
It's important that we put our written directive out there, too, so the public has a chance to review and respond to us in terms of what that direction is going to be. And, you know, in addition to that, I do believe that, you know, it's okay to split up the parcels when we're doing our analysis on this as well. And staff has our direction, which is very split and has no idea what to do with it, but we could then direct them to come back and put that in writing for us.
Yeah, it would be difficult as of right now to figure out what you're going to put in an RCA to direct the staff to do, other than all I've heard is that you're willing to consider proposals.
I think it does make some sense for you to look at your options, and that option would also be the updated arts group option, and then I guess you got that. You also could, I suppose, get some feeling from the potential buyers of what it is that they want, usage they want to put to it, and maybe you don't ask them for the money, but it also is something you should have some idea, perhaps, of what they'd pay for it. I personally think $675,000 is too low compared to what these other prices you see in property downtown.
Mr. Roger.
Two things that I think I very much want to have, and whatever comes forward, is I want to have a specific decision date that the council will drive to, and then along with that, an execution date, because once we have our, you know, once any principal option was selected, probably take the time to execute on it too. But I want to set a very clear timeline out there. I'm not really interested in these last minute games that sometimes get played a little bit. And then, you know, I guess I'd ask the council too, as I've kind of laid out an intermediate term vision for potentially the parking lots portion of this. And, you know, are there any strong objections to, you know, kind of the vision that I threw out there? Because if it's reasonable, I'd like to at least write that up and potentially submit that as part of this.
Mr. Hickey. I think what Mr. Wojcik outlines would fit right in with item three. I mean, as much as we see surface parking lots as placeholders, if potentially that someone purchased the armory and needed that surface lot as an interim stopgap or whatever, so I think what you're saying could work as part of option three.
I'd be happy to compromise and put option three on the lots and option one on the armory, but I don't think that's going to fly either.
Well, I think that's a creative answer to this that could solve a lot of problems, is if we can finance that through the development of those lots, especially through the use of TIF and getting creative in the DMC district, there is an opportunity to finance enhancements and, you know, additional cultural uses in the armory through the development of those two other parcels. This does not have to be looked at as one unit we're selling. If we decide, frankly, I think we've had great proposals for great high order cultural uses of that facility, and we know that parking is a requirement to support those, we simply request proposals for those lots that include the required parking. You know, we have unlimited authority here to direct the development of these properties. Frankly, we could instruct Mr. Nigber to go start that for us if that was really our desire. But ultimately, I don't want it said that the council's bound here to sell the entire thing or to take all things under consideration, because we don't have to. There's no obligation. We need to do what is best for the city. And if that is selling a portion of it, if that's developing a portion of it, that's fine. I do want the armory retained. I do think that's important. And I do hope that we consider that as a reasonable and viable alternative to wholesale divesting ourselves of this property. I think that is short-sighted. We're good, but I've expanded on
that. Mr. Nigger.
So I've not still gotten any clear direction. No offense. You have the option to do a wholesale RFP and take in proposals for quasi-public uses and or divesting the property as a commercial enterprise. Like we did with the food co-op. They came back in, they provided a proposal on what they're providing for a concept. We looked at that concept, compared that to other concepts, and said yes or no. You do the same thing with the quasi-public versus commercial. Again, that conversation will be very difficult. From what I'm hearing right here, is it a good, as a quasi-commercial or quasi-public use or a commercial use? That's really you still have the same conversation.
Right.
Just kicking that can down the road.
So I really do think we should pursue the marketing it. I mean, last time there was bad feelings because the nonprofit or the proposed use wasn't considered, and they felt there was some requirement on our part to give approval because we had asked for proposals. So rather than, you know, lead people astray, I think we should market it. And once again, with the clear intent, I mean, we're not, if it's a use that's inappropriate for the site or it's not the right price, we're under no obligation to sell
it.
So, but I think we need to follow through on that.
So we could handle that, Mr. Campion.
I think, again, I feel obligated every single time, and it's unfortunate that I have to do this, but the committee of the whole meeting is typically reserved for discussion amongst the council members, because these are very difficult issues that face the council. The guffawing and the kind of the rancor that's taking place in the group makes it very difficult to have an open conversation about the future of the city that's incredibly important. There will be a time that to address the council. I apologize to anyone who got the incorrect feeling about this meeting that this would be a time for public input. The committee of the whole meeting is primarily for the use of the council members to discuss these issues. So I appreciate everyone coming and choosing to participate in their local government, but the participation in this particular meeting is not structured for public comment. So I if you feel like you've been misled by something, please give me that feedback. I'm happy to address that. But if we can continue orderly, I'd prefer that for everyone's sanity.
Okay. So I was going to suggest, and then we could take this up under other business during the council meeting, that if someone were so inclined to make that sort of a motion, I think this would be correct. Let's say that there was a preference for option three, for example, but using the language that Mr. Negber suggested, that we would entertain by a defined date, quasi-public purposes or outright purchase or, whatever proposals groups would care to bring forward by a certain date, and then we consider all of our options at that point. Mr. Wojcik and Mr. Hickey.
I'm not opposed to going down that road. I think the key thing is what we're really doing is we're kind of restarting the process by doing this. And the only thing I would push is that, you know, we've got a few folks here, myself included, that really want to maintain this as a public asset. And if in fact the mayor is now inclined to support this, I don't know. I think we have to gauge if there's enough serious support for a sale, because if there's not, then we specifically go into what Mr. Nigber said about is it credible for them to put the offers together. But we just need to get it in writing and get our input in.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Hickey?
So I would just restate that I think we should pursue the option three and not try to mix all the options together, because rightly or wrongly, people felt they were misled. Last time we entertained proposals, people felt there was an obligation to award proposals, and at the end we had one. Well, that clearly wasn't going to happen. You're not going to award it to the sole person who submits a proposal. I think we should keep it simple. We should look at option three, and if there aren't reasonable offers or offers that we think are the best use, then we terminate that process, and then we put out proposals for public use with the city maintaining control.
Okay, Mr. Bell, back to Mr. Campion.
I guess I'm not opposed to that, but I, again, as I went back and said earlier, I'm not convinced that selling the property is the best choice to do, at least the Armory itself. My question is, so we get the we put it out for bid, so those groups come back, then what? What are you going to make your decision on? Is it how much money they offer?
So if it's the asking price meets our expectation and it's a good use for the land and it's a good purpose, then I would suggest we would accept the offer, we would sell it.
Mr. Campion and Mr. Woodard.
I mean, if there's insufficient support for selling the entire thing, then the people desiring the sale of the property may need to compromise on what their objective is. I mean, this happens all the time in government that, if there's not enough support or if there's a veto that prevents it, then there may just need to be compromise, and then we can work hard to figure out what that compromise is. And frankly, I think we've laid out some viable alternatives already, but I understand, I do think it needs to be a formal council action if we're going to move forward trying to divest ourselves of these properties.
Okay, Mr. Wojcik and Mr. Hickey.
I think regardless of how we word this and going forward and potentially putting this out to solicit more offers, the fact that you have, a few council members and a mayor who have made their position pretty well known should pretty well signify to those that are interested in this property. If you're really serious about trying to buy this from the city, you're going to have to submit something that's going to really win over people, and that's going to probably require a strong public purpose. I'm skeptical as to whether or not that'll happen, because I don't think the market economics necessarily work for that. But I do think that even going forward with potentially opening this up for options, we've already set where the city is at in terms of policymakers, that the a lot of us really care about preserving this asset for the city.
All right. Any other comments? So I'm back to
just read that back to us. Just kidding.
Back to what I was suggesting earlier. This can come forward. I don't know that we need an RCA. I think it could be handled as an appropriate worded motion by whoever would choose to make it at a regular meeting. Mr. Wojcik, you were going to...
Well, my only comment on that is, again, I just want this to be out in the public with enough time to respond, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the Wednesday before a meeting where it's going to be voted on you know, let's get it out there in writing, put it on the website so everyone gets a chance to.
Go either way. If you want to do an RCA so that people have a little time to react to it, that's perfectly fine.
We'll put all your cell phone numbers on there.
Yeah.
Isn't
Mr. Bildeback, then
yeah.
Mr. Campion.
And again, my concern is I'm not sure that selling it for a price is the right route to go. I think there's a lot of alternatives we heard. So my question to Mr. Naker is, how would you market this if you were to go out and market it?
As I pointed out earlier on, I think if we're going to market this to your highest price potential and expose it to market properly, we'll use a commercial broker. That will cost you some
money. They going to look at the... And again, I haven't decided one way or the other. I have real strong feelings about keeping this or maybe selling a portion of it. But I just want to know what they're going to be saying as well, because we want to make sure that everybody understands there is no decision here. But will we be taking input or taking bids for people who are only interested in the armory itself, or those who are interested in just the parcels itself, or
From what I've heard from you folks, it's the armory that you're willing to look at selling to get an answer back there. The other parcels on the north side, you would look at keeping those for some future redevelopment. That's what I've heard for the most part.
My opinion was exactly what you said, except I would entertain an interim solution that would say that we might agree to some sort of lease arrangement.
Correct.
For some of that parking.
That could be negotiated as part of any sale that would come forward.
It could be part of the discussion anyway.
Yeah.
No, that's all I was going to say is I think we talked about an interim, surface parking lots aren't going away tomorrow. An interim use with a lease, I think, might be appropriate to market that with the building.
Now, this would not give you an RFP, meaning they will not bring forward to you their proposal.
Correct.
They're coming forward with a price saying, I'm willing to pay you this for the property.
Correct.
But I think that's an important distinction, because you said if it's a good use of the property, we will have no jurisdiction in this process.
Absolutely.
Over the use of the property. Okay.
Well, I would say, a homeowner offers his house for sale. He entertains offers. He is not obligated to sell the house. So just because you're the highest offer... Again, someone comes in with an inappropriate use for that property.
They won't give us the use, right? I mean, there's
no
obligation on their part
necessarily.
Then we don't. If we have no idea who's buying it, we're not going to sell it. If they're not willing to disclose the use, I would not sell the armory.
Perfect. Then we need an RFP process.
No.
I would suggest that. If you're looking for what the use will be. Seriously, and that's the challenge you have. If you want to know how it's going to be used in the future, and make sure that guaranteed commercial entity is viable and all those fun things, then yes, you want an RFP process. If you want to just be willing to sell it for a price and walk away, then you hire a commercial broker, be done.
Mr. Wood?
Well, one thing I'd point out, too, is anyone who wants to provide us with whatever services we're looking for is going to be more than happy to accept any amount of money we're willing to give them, irrespective of whether or not we're seriously moving on it.
Mr. Hickey?
I think we're making this more difficult. I mean, anybody who wants this property is going to be willing to disclose their purpose. And if they're not, we tell them we're not going to accept your offer. I mean, I don't think it needs to be an RFP process. I just can't imagine someone really truly desires this property. They're going to say, we're not going to tell you what we're going to do with it.
They
can't
tell
us
whatever they want, I guess is my point. They could tell us that they're going to turn it into a...
Okay, really?
We've had this happen. We've literally had this happen. I mean, this is not fictional. It's actually a very simple decision point. If you want to have control over what it's used as... This is why we did the RFP process in the beginning, was to have that level of control. If you're just selling the property, that could be the desire of the council, but then you just sell it. You don't know. I mean, there's no obligation for them to use it a certain way.
A real life scenario, the Second Street Fire Station across on the west side of Highway 52 there on Second Street. We had that property. We owned it. We turned around and sold it. We had in the clause that they would come back to us with a concept for use. Well, they did that. They came back with a concept for use of that property, but what is it still today? It's still vacant. We had no time frames on the ongoing use, the time frames for redevelopment, things like that. Were we lacking in our ability to make sure that happened? No. We walked away with $245,000 or $310,000 in our pocket. That's what our ultimate goal was. We got a person that came forward with a proposed viable use, but it's never materialized at that point in time.
Mr. Hickey?
So again, I would say, what's the difference? So if they come back to an RFP and say, we promise we're going to do it this way, and they don't follow through on it, what are we putting in there? How's it different than we accept a purchase offer where they declare the use and it's this entity, and this is what they do?
Yeah, I would turn it around and say, yeah, what is the difference? Literally, all we would be doing is putting the RFP process into the deed process. I mean, that. I mean, it's the same thing. It, you know, whether we do that up front in a structured, meaningful way where we put out for, you know, requests and then we put in, you know, we take that as a process, or if we just say whoever shows up has to, you know, give us an idea of what they're going to use the building as and we bake it into the sale agreement. I think legitimately those are the same thing to me. It's not different. So if that's what you're feeling, I'm actually, that's fine, I guess. It's just important that we have an agreement, because it sounds like some people are saying, I want to sell it, get it back on the tax rolls. That's the point. But if the point is to also maintain that control over what it's used as, you start crossing from just this commercial property listing to much, you know, a bigger involvement, because now we have to review that. Now we have to have agreement about how the best use is. I mean, it goes on and on.
Mr. Bildebeck, I suggest we do an RFP just to keep it clear to everybody, and I think we need to come up. What's a reasonable time, Mr. Nigber or Mr. Twinville, as far as before we get some response? As far as how long is this out there? I only want people who are serious to do this. I don't wish to drag this on.
The sale and not community purposes.
Yes. At this point.
So I think Randy mentioned with one time looking at both.
He did, which I would prefer, but I'm just asking if we were to do the sale, what is a reasonable timeline? Because again,
to get proposals or offers? Or
offers.
Mr. Nigber?
180 days maybe, realistically. Yes, actually probably pretty fast from the standpoint of getting it out, marketing it as a potential site for redevelopment, and then trying to solicit the right people to come in and provide a proposal to you. Again, that would open up the doors to what it may be used for, too. It would maybe right. Event space, maybe a restaurant, maybe commercial, maybe housing. Who knows what they might come up with.
Right. Mr. Woodger.
So, two things. We got a little hung up on the RFP versus price thing, and I would just say that if we're fundamentally asking them what they're proposing to do with the property, that is a request for proposals. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be elaborate, but you know, by the rules of the English language. The other part of this is, I think it's important that we get this in writing, because I think when we see what we're really talking about doing and the timelines that we're talking about and the prospective interests with the limitations that we're going to put on this, I don't know if we're necessarily going to see value in going down that road, but I could be completely wrong. But let's get it in writing and have it for comment.
Mrs. Johnson?
Actually, I have a question. How much does it cost the city per year to keep the armory and maintain it? This might have been public notice before, but...
I didn't have that information to share with you. It's in the appraisal report from rough cost estimates. Aaron, do you remember what that number was?
I think our budget...
We budgeted $80,000, but we don't really know completely how well that's going to play out.
See, it was all run by the senior center for the most part. We paid some of the cost, but again, what the backbone information is, the heating ventilation, what that might incur for any repairs and maintenance, we don't really know the details of that yet.
Okay, so $80,000 is budgeted per year?
Number, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bilbeck?
Yeah, finance said $80,000.
Thank you, Mr. Finance. That's what's in the budget. What? Like I said, we don't have anything for roof repairs, HVAC system to go out, that's putting that needs to be done, and we need any of that kind of stuff right now.
Just basically that's
okay. From the appraiser, it sounds like the station is in pretty good shape. The building is in pretty good shape, but we have not done like what we did with the Chateau Theater before we acquired it. Is we had somebody go out and actually do a building assessment on it. But we haven't done that yet, so we don't really know for sure timing of roof replacement, top morning windows, HVAC, those sort of things. We haven't taken that step yet.
So what I'm kind of sensing is, and I'm okay with using the RFP process as long as we put a defined date on it. Now, a proponent might come forward and say, I'm responding to your RFP, I want to buy your building. And they may say that's all they want to share with us. We may or may not look at that very kindly, that sort of offer. I think anybody who wants to buy it would be wise to convey what they intend to use it for, even if it isn't an elaborate plan.
I would think it'd be logical that you would require what they're going to use it for.
Yeah, we don't even have to beat around the bush with this.
Right. No.
I'm suggesting it would be prudent on their part to share with us what they would intend, what the intended use would be.
I'm a little bit more forceful, but probably unrightfully so. I mean, I would literally say, you will tell us what you're using the building for. I understand that, like, there's this idea that there might be another order, but I think...
All right.
So if that's all that you're looking for is what that use will be, and then once you sell the property, it may change. If you're okay with that, great. Market the property as is right now, no RFP. It's very simple.
I wanted to expound on the point on the finances. What is the difference between the an occupied building and an unoccupied building in terms of insurance for this building? Because I imagine it's got to be pretty significant.
Well, in the Chateau, it was $82,000 unoccupied for the insurance versus $494 when it's viewed as occupied. And so, therefore, with the Chateau, we have interim uses in order to that. We can keep it occupied.
Did you say that backwards?
It was $82,000 if it was unoccupied for insurance. Yeah. It was $494 if it was viewed as occupied.
Oh, I thought you said $484,000. I think he did.
$494. Okay.
494, no extra zeros.
So, Mr. Bilbao.
Yeah, I guess my comment is we'll move Mr. Quenville's office there for a while. That way it's occupied.
Yeah.
just a joke, Steve. But I do think it's important to know that to all the groups, and I know there's a lot of nonprofits here and the groups, the ACI group. Look at your proposals, work on your proposals, see if you need to collaborate with others. And bring that forward, because again, this is no way guaranteeing that this is going to be sold at this time or place. I think we need to move it forward. We need to get off the fence on this and look at something. But I don't know if selling it is the right thing, but I suggest people be ready.
So now I'm hearing RFP, 90 days out.
Could I make a suggestion during that same period of time? What do you lose by getting any updated community purposes just for your information?
Nothing.
At the same time, as you go both avenues.
Nothing.
We would entertain that.
My concern is last time there was an expectation that we accept these loan proposal on the table. So people felt misled. That was the feedback I was getting. People felt disappointed and misled that we were obligated to take that proposal because we said we were going to entertain proposals. So I just don't want to lead people down the road thinking there's something going to happen that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Mr. Spade?
I was going to point out that previous RFP that was prepared back, whenever that was now, I think it was in September of 2015, and we had the six-month response time frame allowed for both the sale of the property and for proposals for various other cultural or other uses of the building. So I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel.
No.
I think it's just going back out and tweaking what we put together there to try to point out. I think what happened previously is, there was more emphasis on the city maintaining ownership of the building and looking at proposals for occupancy by an outside group versus selling it. So I think there wasn't much interest out there at that time for anybody to purchase because I don't think they were very aware of it.
I think we can
make it more known. I mean,
we can make it more clear that you don't have to accept any. I think that was in there, but
yeah,
we'd make those two things more clear if that's
Mr.
Campion?
I want to be on the record that the problem with the process was not the requirement for acceptance. So I through that entire thing, I pointed out several things I thought were we messed up collectively. The collective we messed up, and setting a deadline for submission, and then holding steady to that, and other kind of elements. No, I had no problem with rejecting what was there. What I have a problem with is not having a decision. A thumbs up or a thumbs down is fine. Again, the council makes decisions, that's kind of the job. But what was worrying to me was the propensity for can kicking that takes place sometimes where it is a tough decision. I get it. And I'm gonna lobby very hard for what I think is the right one. But we do need to get to a spot of making a decision. And I think that is ultimately, what I need to see out of this next RFP is this is the date the decision will be made on, or we will, this is it. And it's frankly, it's up to us to hold to it then. And it's, personal responsibility beyond putting a date on paper.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Mike, did you say 90 days?
Or 180? Well, I didn't realize that the 90 would work out better. I didn't realize that the former proposal had the private part of it in it already. I thought it was just a quasi-public one, so that would help.
It wasn't as broadly indicated, though, as the quasi-public use.
Okay.
Subservient.
So it may save some time looking at that old one and kind of revamping that slightly.
Well, and I can comment, too. Like I said, we've had interest, so people are aware of it, and maybe they're more aware of it throughout this process now, but you've shown the building a number of times, and we would reach back out to both parties again, let them know, here it is, we need your response to them. Certain time. So
maybe 90 days is too much. If we know we have a group that is fine-tuning a proposal for repurposing it, if we know we've got some interested parties out there, it shouldn't take them that long to put together a formal offer. So I don't know that we need 90 days even.
I would recommend 90 as your minimum basic, because again, you want to market this so you have that exposure to the market. And again, you can set whatever time you desire, but that would be my recommendation.
Okay. Mr. Logic or Mr.
I appreciate all of these details that we're trying to fine-tune right here. Show it to me in writing, and we'll talk again.
Ms. Johnson?
I need a little clarification, because Mr. Golderback had suggested, perhaps I'm hearing this wrong, entertaining both the idea of a purchase agreement as well as community input. Or community groups. You can correct me if I'm hearing you wrong.
No, that's correct.
Is that what we're just putting on the table, both of those options then?
Yeah. That was what the RFP was.
Well, if we go with that same RFP we had before, then we accomplish that. You'd have both avenues to look at.
But I think what Mr. Campion is saying, we got to pull the trigger on that. You know,
I agree.
Maybe this time around we're underscoring a bit more that really there's an opportunity to buy this or some portion of it.
So, I mean, if we're really going to go down this road, we open it all up again. I mean, I think we need to be clear what the parameters are. So I had a number of user groups approach me afterwards and said, because the one proposal that was left on the table included a $100,000 subsidy in the operational budget. And I had a number of groups tell me, oh, if it comes with $100,000, we could absolutely use that building and we could find a way to use it. So I think we need to be clear what comes with the building. So last time, the one proposal left standing included $100,000 in the operational budget. And a number of groups told me if we had that deal, we would definitely be in. So we need to be clear what we're offering.
Personally, I would we had an extended period of time where groups could put together a proposal, and really at the end of the day, there was one group that really came forward. So I would certainly hope, and I don't know if we have to put guardrails on it, that we're either going to entertain an offer to sell or to buy it, or a fine-tuned offer for reuse from the original proponent group. In other words, I'm not wanting to open this up to a whole bunch of other groups.
I think we need to look at what the sale options are out there, and if there's nothing that we find to be reasonable, then we open it up to the other options. But I don't know how we're sending mixed signals and we're complicating the heck out of this. It's, you know, I think we give it 90 days or 180 days, whatever, to see what we get, see what ideas. Like I said, unique opportunity for somebody to come along. If nobody comes along, then we look at plan B. But
so again, I don't favor opening up to option one, but if we do, we're opening up to anybody. So it's all comers. And we need to be clear what the parameters are. So if we're offering $100,000 in operational dollars every year for the budget, then everybody better know that so that there's an even playing field for people that are applying. Again, I think this is a mistake. I think we need to entertain the offers to purchase, and if there's no acceptable offer, no use that we deem acceptable, then we open it up to the public for reuse and that the city would maintain ownership.
Beyond the proposal that we had on the table.
Well,
that was brought forward.
Same proposal, but opening it back up to all comers. I mean, it's not just the one group. So again, I think option three gives us plenty of flexibility. I think we need to run that to ground, and if there's no takers, there's nothing that we seem deem suitable, then we go back and open it up.
Mr. Roger?
We need to get this down in writing so we can offer our feedback to it. But I would also say one of the nice things about this process is, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves stuck in that quasi-judicial capacity where we can't talk freely about what we feel the future is for this. This is not one of those circumstances. People in the community need to know that they can have conversations with their council members, and we are free to talk about, what we see the best route going forward. And if we choose not to, that may be a personal decision, but it's not anything that's
put upon us.
So would it be unreasonable to ask someone like Mr. Nigber to try to reduce this to writing, something that we could react to based on all this discussion? And I know we've been wandering around. I get it.
I'll put an RC together for not this council meeting, the next council meeting.
Right.
That you can react to. And it may not be exactly what you're looking for, but then you can discuss it and modify it.
Brave. So that's brave.
Mr. Hickey.
So I'd like to clarify that, I guess, because right. We talked a little bit about bringing forth and revising the current or that past RFP. So I don't know if Michael's talking about that, but I would be viewing
yes.
We use that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do that.
Yeah, I don't want to start with a blank sheet of paper.
So I think, again, we're not, as Mitchell Wojcik pointed out, we're not going to sort every detail right now. We need it in writing. But I think we need to give direction 1, 2, or 3. And from there, the staff will flesh out the details in RCA. But I don't think we should leave it all of the above. I think we can narrow it down to 1, 2, or 3, give them that direction, and then they formalize it in RCA.
I'm saying 3, but
we're here to make decisions, and I think we need
I'm
to
saying
take
3.
Right now.
What's that?
I'm saying 3.
1.
3. 3.
1.
One.
Well, we've actually got a majority here at 1, though. So,
all right, decision made. Pursue 1.
Okay.
I honestly question. Wasn't expecting that. That's
so
why.
So, when you say 1, you mean 1, 2, 3. Okay, so let's be specific what we're talking about. I mean only 3. You mean 1, 2, 3, all of you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Glad we got that out on the table.
So nailed it.
To your question about whether it's unreasonable to ask Mike to do this, yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So where are you at with that?
Sorry, 3.5 and 3.5, I guess.
1 or 3. Or 2.
All right, so we're not happy with any of the options.
My suggestion.
Is there other options you can suggest?
Why don't we put our staff heads together and give you an RCA to react to?
I think trying to badger this further is just going to cause ill will, and I think the goal here is to find something that's best for the city, so let's ask staff to come up with some more ideas for us instead of trying to hash this out.
We'll redo that previous RFP, and that'll be given to you, and then you'll make your judgments based upon that, and then the mayor will also be there at February 6th, and he can enter into the process.
Well, Mike said he would be the next one after that. So right. The second meeting in February.
Well, the sixth is the next one.
We can the second that. Meeting in February.
Well, next council meeting. Not tonight's the next one.
Yeah.
So, okay. Right. So we're going to take a look at a revised version of that RFP.
So under that, though, it still leaves open with your options. I mean, that
sure.
RFP
exactly.
Basically lets you get some community uses if they wanted to submit something, and also we'd market it at the same
right.
time.
Right, exactly. So we're going to take a look at a retooled version of that RFP, which preserves all of our
right.
options.
That would be those two courses mm-hmm. of action.
Okay. All right.
Two courses of action.
You'd look at any community purposes that still want to come along, and we'd also go out and market it.
So the same. Okay. So the same thing we did
Mr.
before.
Mr. Hickey.
But this time we'd market it, and the last time we didn't market it.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
Mr. Hickey.
So again, I'd make the point. I'd like it clarified. If these requests for proposals include operational dollars, because I think there's a number of groups that would line up, if they're going to get $100,000 into their budget along with the building. So if there's no operational dollars, I think we need to make that clear going forward.
Well, you might reject a proposal because it has that money in it. I don't know if you need
right.
to clarify that at this point, but you may not like it just because it isn't self-sufficient.
All right, I have Mr. Spaeth and Mr. Newman.
Yeah, just to point out, the previous RFP never made any mention whatsoever of
right.
any subsidy or anything like that. I think that was just what one of the respondents put in their particular request.
Right.
And so
shouldn't be a foregone conclusion.
Right, exactly. Right.
Same point I was going to make.
Okay. All right.
All right. I think we know what we're supposed to do.
We'll see.
Let us know what it is.
That's
wait,
right.
Can we jump into other business?
I'm happy to. Anything else on that one?
Okay.
All right. I had one real quick other business item.
You fire away.
An agenda thing. Our next meeting of Committee of the Whole on January 23rd, we've got a number of topics that are a little lengthy. I just want to see if we're okay to start at 3 o'clock.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Do it.
All right. Now, go ahead.
Two things. One, when we got the list of possible times to do our little council retreat thing, I mean, they were
pushed back into the March-April timeframe, which, you know, I understand the logistics leading to that. One item that I want to prioritize and then get to the council before that point is I'd like HR or someone to come in and give us an overview of what our strategy will be in terms of search firms or policy and trying to advertise and promote and recruit for the city administrator's position, obviously one of our key tasks for 2017. So if we could do that, you know, well, it sounds like next week's long, but maybe
actually I think
after.
That'll be coming because I know Lynn and her staff have been working on it. I can share that I know what she did is she went out and looked for a couple of firms that would be prepared to do a national search.
Right, okay.
People that have had experience in this, people that could give us some guidance, because we haven't had to do this in about 5 decades.
In terms of, you know, in terms of doing this too, the, I think the key thing is this is a, you know, top 250 type city administrator position in the country. And so we need to find somebody who's done those kind of searches before. The other one that I had, and you know, looking for some direction from the council on this. When it comes to how well the current planning structure is working out, I would say that it's fair to say that Mr. Staver and I have strongly different views on that. And but I did put in writing a list of questions that I sent to the county and Ken Brown, and I just have never got anything back. I haven't heard anything, haven't had any contact. And what I'd like to do is, you know, some way formalize that request so we're either going to get the answers in writing or not. Because a lot of those questions dig into specifically what the obligations of the county and PASC is and what's actually happened. And I really want to dig into this so we can disagree on this. But all of this baseline information that these 12 questions get to, I want those facts in front of us as we disagree.
And I think when we talked about this before, I was of the mind that I didn't feel that it would require formal council action to get questions answered.
Apparently it might.
But having said that, if you feel that that's the route you want to take and you want to make that sort of a motion.
I will.
Well, why don't I, you know, Mitzi answered some of them, so why don't I at least get what's been answered and what hasn't been answered. And I do think, you know, we, over the past few decades, spent some considerable time trying to improve relationships between the county commissioners and the city council. So whatever you do in this situation, you should do it with that in mind and don't necessarily irritate or, you know. So you should keep in mind that we're supposed to have some good working relationships here. I have passed on to Mr. Devlin the fact that Michael wanted an answer to a couple questions. And
So
I can't force that.
You know what, though? But if we have a...
So you should keep in mind also, Michael, that we need to have good relationships with the county commissioners and not unnecessarily disrupt that.
And I think we can talk about the good relationships with the county commissioners, but let's not forget who our number one priority is, and that's the citizens that we represent here in Rochester and the planning services that they need. You know, we broke up the emergency operations because it wasn't working. Recently, we decided that we aren't looking to merge parks departments because, quite frankly, what the city needs and what the county needs is quite a bit different. I think what the city needs and what the county needs in terms of planning is quite a bit different, too. And I could put the personality stuff aside. I want a fully funded planning department, and I want some real analysis in these outside reports that have gone
out. Apparently, Mr. Brown has got to indicate that he'd like to meet personally with you to discuss it. So why don't we try that?
And then see
after that.
I keep waiting.
Have you asked him to meet with him?
I don't even know. He doesn't have coffees or anything. He doesn't meet them with the public.
Well, he has the contact information, as all of us do.
Mr.
Campion. I think disengaging the issue from Councilmember Wojcik, which I understand there's history, the questions that are in here are factual. And ultimately, things like, did you take formal action on such a date? Did that happen? To me, that shouldn't be chafing to the public officials who are operating under open meetings laws. You know, was this done? Did this happen?
Yep.
Shouldn't be the sort of thing that becomes, you know, contentious, really. I mean, I don't know if those are the ones you got back from Mitzi, but, you know, did PASC recommend an annual levy for the operation of the department? You know, that's just a fact. And so I think there's like certainly the predisposition here is to build a case for an argument. But to establish the facts and to be unable to establish the facts because of relationships would be deeply concerning to me. Like, that already suggests that there is strained relationships. If we can't even get to the point of discussing what the facts are, I don't know how we will continue to work together. So I agree. I would prefer to work collaboratively with our colleagues on the county. But if questions such as those are going to be a wedge issue, then I think we've got big issues already. And I think we're probably already at a spot where there's not much hope of working together. Ultimately, I think any council member should be able to ask of a colleague these sorts of questions and to expect a response. And I don't think it should have to take place in private. So yeah. If that's ultimately what's being driven to here, then I do have a concern about that, just like I would hope everyone would have about me if they found out the same thing. So I think that the expectation is reasonable, and frankly, it's concerning that it's driving this level of discussion, frankly, that these are not being answered. So,
Mr. Hickey.
So last time we talked about it, just ask him. If you want to have a meeting with him, if his answers are unsatisfactory, and say, you know what? This needs to be, let's back up, this needs to be more formal, let's do this in writing, maybe we get the lawyers involved, whatever you want after that. Why not just talk to the guy?
I would say that, obviously I did reach out to them and providing them the questions. I think first and foremost, the law's in their court, but I don't want this to be a private conversation. I think these issues are important. I think the public needs to see what's going on with this as well. And I totally get, if... The question can be very inflammatory. Say, did you incorrectly close a meeting to the public? I get that. That can strain relationships, but you know what? They're a public body, and that's a valid question that needs to be answered.
All right. So where does that leave us?
I will prepare a formal motion.
Just, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to support it until you have a conversation. Not on the understanding that his answers to you are secret and you can't disclose them, his answers to you are public. And if he won't talk to you, then you take it to a more formal level. The fact that you won't, if I had a question of Nick and I say, no, I'm going to do it through an intermediary or I'm going to do it through some kind of formal writing, I mean, just be reasonable. Go talk to the guy. And if his answers don't satisfy you, then we'll make it more formal.
I would say I respect the fact that you have a vote on this and you have a say in this, but I believe that making this a very public process is personally important to me. I believe these numbers are going to drive the discussion we have on the future of the planning group, and that's why I want to see this as a very public process. And me meeting with him is not mutually exclusive.
All right. So I assume you'll be bringing some sort of motion forward. Adequate.
Yep, I think we've covered it. So that's all I had.
Okay. Anyone else? Any other business for this afternoon? Otherwise? We will see everyone this evening.
Well, I thought this was going to be a 15-minute meeting.